Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined as always by Nick Horwat, and we do have some news to discuss throughout the past week, but at the same time, it's a lot of news about the similar topics, which is Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang, which only makes sense because that is the only news right now for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, those are going to be the driving headlines for quite a while now until either a deals are done or free agency opens. There's no in between. They're going to take over our headlines. They're going to take over all of our news spots. So just get ready. Every little inkling of information we get is going to be discussed and extrapolated to no end. And quite honestly, rightfully so. I think both of us have mentioned multiple times and on multiple occasions that these two are franchise stalwarts. These two are pillars of the team, then, now, forever, if you will. Mm-hmm. They're most likely going to have their jersey numbers retired here. They're going to be remembered forever in Penguins lore. Every little move that happens with these guys this summer should be put under a microscope because it is so important to their legacy as to if they stick around or not. There's a lot of sides to be taken on this story and on this argument of whether or not one or the other should stay. They should both stay, or they should both leave. There's a lot of conversations happening at once. Honestly, I'm starting to be on the fence of whatever happens, happens. This team is going to be fine regardless, I genuinely do think. Because there are alternatives. Let's say we lose one or both. There are alternatives. Some hard alternatives in some cases. Let's say they keep both. Well, then the heartstrings stay intact, and they're both still very skilled players. Mm-hmm. So I think no matter what, the Penguins are going to come out perfectly okay with this situation. I know I just kind of summed up the entire thing. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple coffees this morning. I'm ready to go.
When I look at the situation at this point, I'm in a similar boat to you. Is like, whatever happens is going to happen. To me, it's important what Ron Hextall and the Pittsburgh Penguins do other than that. Because if you keep both, cool, you still have a lot of work to do. If you keep one of them, cool, you have a lot of work to do. If you keep neither of them, you have a whole bunch of work to do. It's not just a matter of, hey, if they bring them both back, they'll be good. Or, hey, if they bring Letang back, they'll still be fine. It's a matter of, what do you do after that is what I'm going to look into. And that's, of course, what we get to do all summer long. But let's talk a little bit about the news that did actually come out, the fresh facts, the fresh instances that we heard about. And it is from Josh Yowie of The Athletic. He remains the driving force and the driving voice of Pittsburgh Penguins on this side of things. He heard that it is unlikely, as of right now, that Evgeny Malkin returns. Not that it is not happening, but that it is unlikely as of now. That was the main thing. We're not going to go into everything of his story, because if you want to subscribe to The Athletic, go do that, because, you know, he does great work, and we're not going to give it all away for free. But that is the main thing there. One of many, many things there is that he heard that it's unlikely. Was this shocking to you at all, Horwood, or is at this point, when there already hasn't been news announced, it's feeling like, hey, if one of them doesn't come back, it was going to be Malkin anyway?
Something about these conversations, I just had this hunch that it was going to last a while. Just because a player of Evgeny Malkin's stature comes out and says that he's already a pretty rich guy and is willing to take a pay cut. I said immediately after that on this podcast, if you can find the episode, go find it. I said immediately, call his bluff. Lowball him. And then they did it, and I went, wait, don't actually do that. Find both of those episodes. I'm sure it's great. But that's assuming that's what they did, and that can immediately drive a wedge between the two sides in negotiations. Sure, he said he'd take a pay cut. Sure, he's probably going to get a pay cut. It is now just a matter of how much. A $1 million pay cut, is, while it is a pay cut, it is not much. So if he wants $8 million and that's what he wants, he's going to get it, whether it's here or somewhere else. That's the thing, that now this, as this drags on, it's going to either become the Penguins get him at a number that might be a little high, or another team gets him at a higher number because they're willing to pay it. It's going to be interesting. I think the I think the longer this goes on, I don't get worried about it, just because 11th hour things are usually the most dramatic, and why not these two to be dramatic? So I'm not worried about the length that the how long it's taking, but it is kind of slowing things down and making things a little redundant. But it doesn't worry me. It doesn't worry me that much.
Yeah, when I think about it, and when I look at the situation again, there's nothing we can do from this side of things but wait and watch. And now I want to hear the resolution to this, because I want to break down the resolution to this. But at the same time, it is up to Hextall, to Malkin, to Malkin's agent, to Letang, Letang's agent. Burke is involved in this. I'm sure Fenway is involved in this. I'm sure Mario, to some extent, is involved in this. It's up to those guys to make those decisions. And of all of those guys that I mentioned, the one other thing I'll mention from Josh Yoey's story is apparently Ron Hextall is a frustrating person to work with when it comes to contract negotiations, at least for the agents of these players, which to that I say, good. That's what you need to be. But when you're frustrating to work with for Evgeny Malkin's agent and with Chris Letang's agent, maybe you need to be frustrating all the way across the board and not just hand Jeff Carter all the magic beans that he wants. That's what's frustrating to me.
Oh, I understand that. I absolutely understand that. That makes total sense, too. It's if you're going to be difficult to, you know, the players that aren't as skilled, that aren't as good. Sure, he's your buddy. That's fine. That's all well and good. But then you got to be that lenient all the way around. Not that lenient all the way around, but you have to give a little more. Because with that Burke interview he did not too long ago, and I'm sure we'll discuss parts of it, he said pretty sternly they don't plan on budging the Penguins side of things, which is very interesting. So I know it's going to be a long 2 weeks, everybody. It's going to be a bunch of the same discussions. Every little piece is going to be talked about, and it should be. But they're not budging. They're not going to move. Interesting.
And I'm glad you brought up the Burke interview. Let's get into that now, because he had a 20-minute interview on the Jeff Merrick Show, which is a must listen if you're into everything hockey, not just Pittsburgh Penguins.
And I think he does that pretty often, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, because he used to work for Sportsnet, so the guys have all worked together. So he does that a lot for Jeff Merrick. But he went on the Jeff Merrick Show earlier this week, and he started off the Penguins conversation because it was a 20-minute interview. He had many, many more pressing matters to discuss than the Pittsburgh Penguins in that interview. So the last 2.5 minutes is when he actually got into the Pittsburgh Penguins. But the first thing he said is, listen, you have to understand, we want both of these guys back because of what they mean to the city. Yes, we understand that, but mainly because they're both very good players. But they have to come back at the term and the year that makes sense, which means the Penguins are not going to go out there and eventually be like, you know what, at the end of the day, we need them anyway, just pay them full, cater to their needs. They're not going to do that. And that makes sense and aligns with what Yoey said about Ron Hextall and with what Brian Burke is as a human being. So it makes complete and utter sense that the Penguins are operating from that level. The ball sounds to be in the players' court, specifically Chris Letang's court, because he also reiterated the fact that we already knew Chris Letang is their priority. They've been working harder towards getting Chris Letang done than Evgeny Malkin. Not that they haven't been working with Malkin, but Letang has been the front runner in these discussions. So Horwat, what did you think when you saw that, yes, they need to be back at this term and year, or else they're not going to come back?
It was the first time really someone within the discussions said, you know, word for word, they might not be here. They could go. And that's difficult to hear. I mean, I get where the team side is coming from with the term. You get it. Mm-hmm. You know, Letang wants 5 years. That's a long time. He's 35. And I take from an interview Bob Grove did on the Fan yesterday as well, as Bob Grove has no problem giving Crystal Tank 5 years. No problem. Because he is not your average 35-year-old. He's the only player in Penguins history to put up a career year at the age of 35.
Yeah.
He seems to still have the stamina and the durability. Maybe durability is the wrong word. He's been injured a lot in his career. But he has the stamina to play 25-plus minutes a night and still remain an elite-level player. The team seems to think he could still be an elite-level player. But 5 years, again, for a 35-year-old is a long time. And I can understand how that's the holdup. Money, not so much. I think, as we found out over the last few information drops to come out, they're only apart by $1.25 million, which isn't much in the grand scheme of things. It's a whole Jack Johnson buyout, but that's a different discussion for another day. But when you're that close to money, you think that gets resolved fairly easily. It is a term situation now. But I always want now I want to raise this question of, they want to line everyone up at that 3-year deal to end with Crosby, right? What if Crosby's not done? Why not give Letang the extra two if Crosby's like, I got two more in me? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's three seasons of hockey to be played before, like, things can happen. But I'd say if Crosby is willing himself to stick around another two, Malkin, at the end of this three, I think that's it. Just because hard miles, we think he wants to play in Russia, and it's Evgeny Malkin. I don't see him going past the three, regardless of what happens. But for Crosby and Letang, why not give Letang the five? I'm starting to come around to the idea too. He isn't your average 35-year-old. If Sid says, I got 2 years left in me, let's knock it out together, I don't see an issue with it. It just has to be the right price now. Also, dear God, no trade clauses, just in case things do fall off.
Yeah, I mean, if he's willing to do, even if you're going to give him the first couple years, like it's a 5-year deal, you give him the first three with Crosby, align it the same way that Brian Rust did. If you can do that, then that works out. If he wants the full no trade the whole way through, you're going to have to eat. You're not going to have to eat that. But if you eat that, it is something that goes against the contract at the end of the day, because a 40-year-old Chris Letang with a no-trade clause, not worse than Jeff Carter with a no-trade clause, but it's still not the prettiest of facts in that conversation. But what all this kind of led to, and when I was listening to it, and I've been asking the question around for the last couple of days, asking different people that we know, has anybody heard anything on any other free agents? Like, the Penguins have like 8 guys that are unsigned right now and getting ready to walk to free agency. They have a couple restricted free agents that, to my knowledge, they haven't extended qualifying offers to. And then you heard Brian Burke on the Jeff Merrick show say, listen, this is a puzzle. We're doing this piece by piece. Letang, then Malkin, then we go. And I'm like, okay, so have you talked to anybody? And that could lend to the fact that we saw Casper Bjorkqvist head over to Finland.
Oh, yeah. He bounced quickly, as an RFA, no less. So, yeah, I'm assuming they haven't extended offers to RFAs because Bjorkqvist said, I'm out, and he definitely doesn't have one. Mm-hmm. Bjorkqvist also, I totally didn't read into this in time enough to have the information. He was not pleased here.
No.
I did not realize that, so that sucks for him. Hopefully, maybe he's got a hell of a future ahead of him. Hopefully, maybe the Penguins and Bjorkqvist can figure things out and bring him back, and he's happy here. If not, more power to him and going to play in his home country and enjoying himself. Honestly, that's in the grand scheme of things. As long as you're happy, and you're doing what you love, you want to do it the right way. But that hurts to know that he wasn't happy with his time in the AHL specifically, I guess. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that he got to live out his dream and was lucky enough to score a goal in the NHL. That's a great start. I mean, dude has a chance to fight for a roster spot, really. If he wants to stick around here, extend him that qualifying offer. But now the assumption is no one else has been given qualifying offers. Mm-hmm. No other UFAs even have been given an offer. That is an interesting move to take whenever a guy like Ricard Raquel is an upcoming UFA and can fetch a page, because money talks, man. Mm-hmm. You can come to him as free agency is open all you want with a number. Someone somewhere else might offer him more, regardless of team or ability to win. Money's the guarantee in this game.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure they are prepared and ready. You mentioned that earlier that am I worried about the negotiations between Malkin and Letang going long? Well, now I am. I wasn't then, but now the more I'm thinking about it and saying those two getting held up until free agency day mm-hmm. is only holding up everyone else in this team.
Yeah.
That's not good. So now I am worried about it. Thanks.
Well, reports said that Brian Burke has not put a hard and steadfast deadline on the Letang and Malkin conversations. I think there is inherently one, and it's a forced one by the NHL calendar, and that is the opening of free agency. Because once free agency opens, if you end up not getting these deals done, you're screwed, because all those other names that you're going to want to fill in, whether it be somebody that you personally, Horwat, or me personally, or any other person listening to this personally wants to see the Penguins get, Trocheck, Miller, who's a trade candidate, not necessarily a free agent, but like Trocheck, Kadri, you brought up as Forsberg is a dream candidate. These guys are going to get signed and get signed quickly because they're going to get money thrown at them. And there's a certain amount of teams that can do that. But if you don't have this situation done and you're stern on the fact that you're not going to do any other business until this is done, you're going to lose out on opportunities. That's just an inherent fact. Now, whether or not it actually played into the Kasper Bjorkqvist departure. He goes and signs with Olin Karpat of Liga. 6 games with the Penguins, 1 goal last season. It's weird because at the end of the year, Hextall had that press conference, said that, listen, we know we need to use youth a lot more next year. Mentioned Bjorkqvist twice when he was listing off names. Might have been a mistake. Might have just forgot that he said it. But it's in the front of his mind. And then Bjorkqvist just leaves. Now, listen, he's still an RFA, still technically under Penguins' control. If they send him a contract, he can sign it and come back. We've seen other players use this as negotiating tactics. I don't think it's that, simply because I don't think Bjorkqvist has quite, you know, the leverage of his play, whereas he can be replaced a little bit by a guy like Hollander, by a guy like Zahorna, by a guy... other Pustinen. Centers. Pustinen is a winger, but same thing because Bjorkqvist plays center. But there's also three centers in the NHL right now with the Penguins, and if they sign Malkin, it's 4. So I don't think this is really a leverage play by Bjorkqvist, but it's just a sign that, listen, a lot of the young European prospects now are starting to go over. It started with Emil Lamy. Juuso Riikola earlier this offseason chose to go back. He didn't like the way that he was being handled here in the Penguins organization. And now Bjorkqvist. And now we don't know if that's the reason, but we do know that there's a history of him not being pleased with his progression. And now he's playing over in Finland. So I don't know if there's anything to that, but it certainly seems like there might be.
Yeah. As a contract negotiation tactic, I get it. That does make sense for players to do. And it would make sense, I think, in Bjorkqvist's case. Like, hey, play me a little more in the NHL, or I'm literally going to go to Finland. I already have a contract. But it's the quote where he said that he wasn't pleased that sticks out to me as he doesn't care. Not that he doesn't care, but he was not pleased with his AHL time. And like you mentioned, we have 3, possibly a 4th center already on the NHL squad. Mm-hmm. There's no room for him. He's going to be back in the AHL again, where he just said he wasn't pleased. I think it's most likely we're losing him, and that hurts because it's one of our top prospects in a very thin prospect pool.
Yeah.
So, damn, got to figure that one out. But yeah, it hurts to see him go like that, but we're at a logjam at center. There's nothing else we can do about it because we just had the long conversation of how we and the team want Malkin back. Well, yeah. There's the 4th center right there. That immediately mm-hmm. stopgaps any not immediately stops them from making the NHL, but that immediately stops most of these AHL centers from cracking a lineup.
Yep. And you have to imagine there's other guys, and I wrote a story for Inside the Penguins for SI yesterday about other players and other prospects that are going to look at this and take it as an opportunity, Hollander being chief among them, because he is right there. I mean, he's 22 years old right now. He needs to take a step next year, but it certainly helps when the depth chart has one name taken out of it already. Hollander played in one game last year. You would think that with Bjorkqvist out, who was expected to have a real shot in training camp of making a being either the next guy in or maybe possibly even being that guy and bumping Carter to wing. You never know what those guys are going to think about up at the NHL level. Now that's Hollander's opportunity. A guy like Lukas Svechkovsky, who's not going to make the NHL next year, but he bumps up the depth chart. It helps. He might have a chance to make the Wilkes-Barre team next year if that's where the Penguins want him. He has 1 year left of eligibility in the WHL, but he might go from there straight to Wilkes-Barre and be a second liner, be a power play guy. Similarly, Nathan Legere. Because, again, one less prospect means even though he has struggled, he bumps up that list. And the last thing I'll say about this before we cut to a quick break is I don't know about Ricola and about Bjorkqvist how much of it is that Patrick Alvin left the organization at the end of last year. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but of course, we're giving Alvin a lot of credit on the work that he was doing in Europe, in Finland, in Sweden, in all those countries with the scouting and with the promises and bringing those guys over. Him leaving, I'm not sure how much of a bearing that has on these European players heading back over because they weren't happy with their development, and now potentially the guy that had a part in bringing them over and keeping them happy here is gone. Because I know for a fact, for me personally, if I get a job somewhere because of this guy and this guy's making promises to me and then he leaves, I'm less likely to stay. But that's just me in general. Like, hockey is different, but I do think there's still that element there.
There is that element for sure, but do you think at least Ricola maybe would have stuck around and tried to see if he can get an offer from Vancouver? Because, I mean, I don't know how good or bad their defense is. Quinn Hughes is there. OEL. Tyler Myers. Travis Dermott. Luke Shen. They could use help on defense.
They could, and that's what they're looking for, but I don't know if Juuso Ricola is the type of player they're looking for. Like, they're looking for a John Marino, a top four guy. And Ricola, despite being somebody we both love, is not that guy.
Right. But it's just the thought of it's that connection, but No, I get it either way. Losing Patrick Alvin, losing the guy that may have been a big reason why you got over here. Not being here anymore hurts.
It does.
I also missed two more defensemen, Tucker Poolman also. Yeah, no, they don't have space.
Yeah. So, nonetheless, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk about the areas of improvement for the Penguins, or the ones that they need to improve upon heading into next season. We'll be right back. There's a certain confidence that comes with being properly groomed. There's an aura, a vibe. You can just tell by the way they carry themselves. We call this BGE, Big Groomed Energy. And there's only one way to get that BGE, Manscaped. We'd like to introduce you to their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Now trust them with the rest. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS. Manscaped's brand new Platinum Package 4.0 is the biggest bundle they've ever offered, giving you a bulk discount on Manscaped's top products. Inside this Platinum Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Ultra Premium body wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, Crop Preserver anti-chafing ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball spray toner, anti-chafing boxers, and the Shed travel bag to hold all your goods while traveling. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ALLSTEELERS. Unlock your big groomed energy with Manscaped. And remember, when you trim your hedges, your tree stands taller. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by Inside the Penguins. We talked a lot about the most recent news, which again, except for the Kasper Bjorkqvist departure, a lot of the status quo, just tidbits on the Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang stuff. If you're tired of hearing us talk about it, don't worry. We're getting tired of talking about it as well. We're hoping to get a resolution here, as Brian Burke said, in the not-too-distant future. But let's talk a little bit about the team as a whole. And I want to ask you, Horwat, what do you think the most pressing area for improvement for the Penguins is? I think there's two, personally, and I think they're pretty glaring holes. But which one do you think, or what do you think, is the biggest area?
It's really hard to say. Part of me wants to say that prospect pool, just because we've been talking about it forever. Mm-hmm. And that's an easy one, because that needs to be filled up eventually. We keep discussing bringing up these guys, and they just keep having setbacks. Other than that, maybe defense has become a logjam. I would say just finding productive wingers that can actually produce. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my top answer here. That's going to be the final answer, because Jason Zucker, Kasperi Kapanen are names. No, they can do stuff. We've seen them produce in the NHL before. We've seen them have success with the Penguins before. Zucker's unfortunate injuries all around. That hurts. That was a poor choice of words. But it doesn't help his productivity with the Penguins. And then Kapanen, we just don't know what happened this year. And it was the wrong time to do it. We saw Evan Rodriguez pop off for half of a season, which was great. That back half didn't help. Now we just need these productive wingers, left or right wing, that can do something. Brian Russ and Jake Guentzel, we know they can. They're the top line for a reason. Malkin, just all season that he played, half his season, filtering in and out of wingers on both sides of him. Nothing was consistent for him, so it was hard for him to get his footing. Somehow still managed to get over a point a game. And then Heinen was a good little addition. We like having him around. Brock McGinn was fine. I've seen a lot of people recently say he shouldn't be here. But I'd say he pulled through perfectly okay. And then you get down to the bottom line, which this year could be anybody. So I'd say finding productive wingers that can be a little more consistent is the biggest area for improvement this upcoming season.
And it might be as easy as finding, like, it'd be nice to find three more, but it's as easy as finding one. And then getting one to, like, if Pustinen comes up and is able to be anything of what we expect him to be, then that is part of the answer to that question. Because wingers is another one of the areas that I have. One of my two areas is the winger position. Because if you look at even Brian Rust at the end of last season, he scored 4 goals in the last 19 games. And the reason being, and I got a story about this coming out, is because he didn't move in his ice time after the trade deadline. He still played around 18 minutes and 45 seconds, but he played a lot more time on the penalty kill. So I get that he can do it, but just because he can doesn't mean he should. Somebody that might be able to, if you bring him back, is Kapanen. Force him to play that penalty kill. Force him to get better on that penalty kill, because he has the speed. Now, all the whiffing that he did with the puck at the end of last season doesn't make me very confident that he'd be able to clear the puck, but again, is he going to be as bad as he was last season? I don't think so. Like, it was putrid. There were times last season where I wanted him to be in the ECHL playing for the Wheeling Nailers. It was bad. But is he going to be that bad again next year? I highly doubt it. You need to remold what he is as an NHL player if you're going to bring him back. But at the end of the day, they need to utilize Brian Rust to what he is, and that is one of the top scoring wingers on this team, and not somebody that you should be trying to play penalty kill, power play, and first line minutes. Take out the penalty kill. I'm sure you'll be able to find somebody else to fill that role, aka Drew O'Connor. But they do need more consistent scoring depth, because it was all over the place. You did have nothing from Kapanen. That was consistent. That was the most consistent thing we saw last year, is you had nothing from Kasperi Kapanen. But Brock McGinn at points was scoring goals. Before he had that injury, he was actually pretty good. Danton Heinen was hot at points. Hot to start, hot to end. Putrid in the middle, which happens to be when he played with Evgeny Malkin. Evan Rodriguez, again, he did it more consistently than basically any other a winger, and I know he also played center, but consistently perfect through the first half of the season. Bad second half, pretty good playoffs. Pretty good postseason. But they need somebody else there. Listen, a player like JT Miller would be great. That sounds like a fallacy. Or fallacy, whatever the word is. It sounds like it's not going to happen.
Fairy tale fallacy, yeah.
Fairy tale fallacy. It's going to be expensive. I get that he's playing in the GOAT League in Pittsburgh, which I love, by the way. It's going to be expensive. It's unlikely. It's a great idea, but it's just not going to happen. But they need somebody similar to that. I said it earlier in the offseason. The Phil Kessel type. Not Phil Kessel, but the type of player that can come in and can score a goal just by coming down the wing and shooting it on net, because he has that killer instinct, that shooting ability. That's what they need out of a winger. They don't have it right now other than maybe a Jake Guentzel. They need more of those guys, and I know they're expensive, they're tough to come by, but they're out there, and you can find them.
Yeah, no, they're out there. You may even get shocked by one.
Yeah.
You may make a signing that you're just thinking, third line guy to fill a hole for now, and then he pops off, i.e. Danton Heinen for the back half of this season. And so you get that at the beginning, suddenly you're on to something. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, sure, you have an idea when you bring a player in. You have to find the guy that fits your system, fits your role that you're looking for, and maybe just needs the change of scenery. Then that's what exactly what Heinen was. So if you're able to find something like that again and they hold on to consistency, again, that's the key here. Mm-hmm. You've found kind of a diamond in the rough, because who knows how much you're paying him. Maybe it's not much. Let's also not forget in this whole conversation, quite simply, Rickard Rakell could help a lot with this.
Yeah, Rickard Rakell is one of those guys.
Yeah. But, that just doesn't seem likely, because we keep holding off on the Malkin on the tank situation, and Rakell is a guy that is going to get a big payday somewhere. We may be able to keep him around for not as much. Hey, here's the offer because we want to keep you around. Sign him before free agency hits, or free agency hits. Hey, here's a blank check from another team. Fill it in. That's what's going to hurt.
I don't know if he's going to quite get that, because it is still a flat cap world. But still, I mean, you look at it, and the longer you wait onto it, the more, hey, right now, you're the only person negotiating with Rickard Rakell. In 13 days, there's going to be 31 other guys that have the opportunity. They're not all going to negotiate with them, but 31 other teams, 31 other general managers are going to have the opportunity to reach out and say, well, wait a minute, before you look at that offer, we have one for you too. So I do think that wingers is a very important thing. I'm glad you brought that up to me. And this is an obvious one, and people are going to scream through their phones, through their laptops, tablets, whatever they're listening to this on. The Penguins need to entirely overhaul their power play system, because you cannot continue to be that ineffective. I don't care if Malkin and Letang don't come back. Crosby, Guentzel, Rust. You cannot be that ineffective with those three. For me, I feel like Crosby is not utilized enough in the current system. It might be because it's been a while. I've tried to go back and look at some of the stuff, and I have. But it feels like Sidney Crosby is not utilized enough. It is ran primarily through Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin at the point. Crosby is down low, and I understand he can do magical things down low. But at the same time, his vision, his hockey IQ, he should probably be the guy that is preliminarily up there with Letang. And again, maybe not even run that system. Change the system, because guess what else is fixed in that? The breakout. The Penguins, it takes forever to set up their power play system. And when they finally get it set up, half of the time it doesn't work. So I don't know why we're proving the definition of insanity by trying to do this over and over again. I don't know if it is Todd Reirden that is just that stubborn about it. I don't know if it is the players that say that this is what is best for them. I don't know. But something needs to change with the Penguins' power play because it needs to be more effective than it has been in the past couple seasons.
It does. It does. Man, we've been saying this since 2005.
Yeah.
A power play that has Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, and fill in the last two names, should not be this flat. It's not that they don't score. They get their power play goals. It's inconsistent, and it just does seem flat sometimes. It seems boring. It seems like they're not taking their shots. It's just the passing game. It's the passing game. It's the passing game. We look like the Steelers. They're just throwing it everywhere they can. They're not taking their chances at scoring. That does need to change, and I think that was a big factor in the playoffs this year. How are you going to fail to score on multiple 5-on-3s in important, no less, games? That's where, that needs to change, absolutely, and I'm glad you thought of that, and I didn't, because I didn't think too deeply about the question. I kind of looked at roster, but yes, yeah. That needs to be, no matter who's on the lineup, we know Crosby's still going to be here. We know Gensel is still going to be here. We know Rust is still going to be here, bare minimum, for that power play. You got those three goal scorers, point adders, whatever. Fill in two more names, figure it out. Those three guys, no matter who they are, like I said, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Crosby, Gensel, Rust, the other two should not matter. So those three themselves can figure it out and score. It is the system. I don't like the whole drop back to bring it in again. I don't know any other system that could work. Maybe just, skating into the zone. Just a thought. You're a man up. When you're a man up, you have the loose guy to remain open and carry if you need to. I can remember whenever I played 4-on-4 in line, when we were a man up and we lost the puck per se, our coach would tell us, two guys, you have an extra man out there. You could still cover your guy, but there's a loose guy. Two guys on the puck. If you lose it, should help you get it back a little quicker. So you have the extra guy. Utilize him.
Yeah. And I think the other thing about the power play, and we'll move on to shout outs and call outs here right after I get this point out, but it feels like they're a little too stagnant whenever they're on the power play. It's a lot of people standing in one spot, moving a couple feet here and there, but no switching, no complexity to it, which is why it seems like the New York Rangers were able to figure it out. And realistically, any team that just played aggressive on the point figured out the fact that they could probably slow down the Pittsburgh Penguins power play by simply being aggressive on the puck. But let's move over to shout-outs and call-outs, shall we? Horwat, who are you shouting out this week?
I want to shout out Brian Reynolds.
Hey.
Three home run game. You know, for that matter, we haven't had shout-outs and call-outs since this happened. Jack Suwinski, too. He did it.
He did.
Home run games for both those guys. And the Pirates, well, they're still losing quite a lot. They look fun again. They look like a fun team to watch again.
Mm-hmm.
O'Neill Cruz has already been a ton of fun. I don't care that he strikes out that much. He's young. The team, again, is not supposed to be good this year. They have the fourth overall pick. Brian Reynolds is coming through. Happy June, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Reynolds is here. Bly Madris was fun for a little bit. Jack Suwinski's going to be up for Rookie of the Year. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody? Who am I missing? Henry Davis is coming along just fine in the minors.
Yeah, I love what I've seen from Ronzi Contreras.
Everyone loves Ronzi Day.
Mm-hmm.
We do just need to figure out that pitching, and I don't know what happened to the bullpen, but it doesn't look fun again. Oh, David Bednar is a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So
The
Buccos are fun again. They're not good, but they're fun.
I can't wait for Ben Gamel to get healthy because I saw a couple of things about his rehab stint in Indianapolis, and we have to send down Bly Madris because Ben Gamel's ready.
Oh, yay. Old guy. Older
guy. Listen, I don't hate Ben Gamel, but I would much rather watch Bly Madris play than Ben Gamel because that's more so of the future. But nonetheless, it's been a pretty decent season for the Buccos. I've been happy to watch some of that a little bit more this year than I have been in years past.
I will hang on to that sweep of the Dodgers this whole season. I don't care.
So will we're every not other Pirates fan.
We're not supposed to be good this year. Everyone can make fun of us because we're making fun of us too. Everything that other fans say about the Pirates, we have already said, if not said worse. So
yes.
Hit us with it. We're just having fun this year. We're not going to be good. Next year, maybe.
So my shout out is the LA Kings. A bit of business that they did on Wednesday evening. Really the first big move of the NHL offseason, which is always fun because you're like, all right, the first one's in. This might be a domino effect. And then most of the time it isn't. Like there's like a week gap between that and the next move. Hopefully something else happens. But the LA Kings acquired Kevin Fiala from the Minnesota Wild last night in exchange for a first round pick and defensive prospect Brock Faber. Now Fiala had 33 goals and 85 points for the Wild last season, but due to some contract discrepancies, he was not going to end up re-signing with the Minnesota Wild. So I think it was a pretty good job by Billy Guerin to get a decent defensive prospect and the 19th overall pick in this year's draft, which is magic beans, but still has some value to it for a guy that, you know, wasn't going to come back in the first place. But then Fiala signed a 7-year, $7.9 million with the Kings. That is an expensive contract, but nonetheless, he's going to be a very nice addition to that LA Kings roster that was already a playoff team this year. Not only that, but a playoff team that took the Edmonton Oilers to 7 games in the first round of the playoffs with a lot of young talent. So I love what the Kings have been doing the last 365 days. Last offseason, they added Deneau, they added Arvidsson, now they add Fiala, plus they have a bunch of young talent. Quinton Byfield's going to be able to hit the next level next year. A guy like Alex Turcotte might hit the next level next year. Kaliev had a good season this year. The Kings are fun again, Horwat. I'm sure you're happy about it.
That's awesome. I will say, Kevin Fiala, while that is a huge number, huge contract.
It is.
He went from good depth forward to, holy crap, what a goal scorer. Like that. I don't know, maybe that was the system he was playing in Minnesota or if this is actually what he has. I hope it's actually what he has. Because the Kings, like you said, can be fun again. They can try and attempt to drop that defensive mindset and let Drew Doughty do a little more too if he's still going to be around forever and ever. Yeah, they should be a fun team. Dustin Brown's retiring and they have that open spot and Kevin Fiala's going to fit right in. Because, like I said, Kevin Fiala has started his career pretty much as that depth forward piece. Now he has a chance to really take off if as a top six winger. If he needs to play depth in LA still somehow, he can do that too. He is a guy that can literally play all four lines. I'm assuming you don't want to put an 85 point score, sorry, on the fourth line, but still, he's able to do it if he needs to.
So moving over to call-outs then, because I don't think there's much else to say on that trade really right now, because Fiala wasn't going to sign to Minnesota. He goes to LA, great for LA. Minnesota, they get a first and a prospect back for somebody that you weren't going to sign, and you don't have to spend $8 million on the cap as well. Listen, I'm sure Minnesota would have loved to keep him, but at the end of the day, if he wasn't going to come back, at least you got something for him, and it's much better than Ron Hextall saying, hey, Seattle's going to take Jared McCann, so we're going to get a seventh-round pick or whatever. A seventh-round pick, and what was it? Was it Philip Hollander? It was Philip Hollander, I'm pretty sure. So, either way, good trade. Glad that stuff is starting to actually pop off in the NHL offseason. My call-out for this week, Freddie Freeman's agent.
That's crappy. What happened there?
That is crappy. Freddie Freeman has fired his agent due to figuring out in his first series back in Atlanta after departing this past offseason that the Atlanta Braves had offered him a contract that his agent did not tell him about because he would have signed the contract in Atlanta and not taking more money in LA.
Oh, no.
So not only are the Atlanta Braves screwed by this, Freddie Freeman, who clearly would have liked to stay in Atlanta, did not see the offer that would have kept him in Atlanta, thinking that they were still lowballing him, still not coming to any of the terms that he wanted. Atlanta bended to the terms that he wanted, but Freddie Freeman instead went out to LA because he was unaware of it. Now that screws Atlanta, that screws Freddie Freeman, that screws every other franchise in the MLB because Freddie Freeman going to the Dodgers makes everybody else's life more difficult. So that is a real... first of all, I don't know... Listen, in the legal world, I know when you're offered like a settlement, and I know this strictly because of watching Suits. Like, don't think that I'm a legal expert at all. But by watching Suits, if you're given an offer, you're legally obligated to take it to your client and at least tell them it's an offer. I don't know if that's how that works in sports, Because again, I have no idea how legal stuff really works because I'm not a lawyer. But it feels like there's a pretty big, at the very least, what's the word? Morale. Like, you're freaking, I don't know. This is just a shitty situation. What an awful agent. Like, I don't know what I was trying to go for there, but just at the end of the day, what an awful baseball agent to screw over one of the nicest guys in the MLB.
I like Freddie Freeman a lot. I've said so many times this season, it's a shame he's on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me? I didn't realize that was the whole story. I knew something came out. I've been busy. Mm-hmm. But wow. Okay. So if you're the Dodgers, how do you feel if you're the Dodgers right now, though? I mean, sure, you're like, yeah, hey, we got our guy. We can afford him. Whoops. But, like, really, if you have a conscience on the Dodgers, what are you thinking? Like, wow, you really shouldn't be here.
Wow, you're just thinking, hey, listen, we did nothing wrong. We offered you a lot of money, and you signed it. And I'm sure Freddie Freeman's happy to be a Dodger. Like, I'm sure he's not, like, miserable to be playing for the L.A. Dodgers. But you basically, at that point, they're looking from the outside and saying, man, you got a pretty shitty guy. Unless it comes out that, like, the Dodgers talked to, and Casey Close is the name of the agent. Unless it comes out that the Dodgers talked to him and were like, yeah, don't tell him about that offer because he's not gonna sign here. Then it's bad on the Dodgers, but nobody's saying that as of right now.
No, and I don't think anyone will.
No. They don't need to do that, because you know what they would have done? They would have said, who's the next best first baseman? Here's all the money again.
Yeah.
They don't need to do insider trading from the Dodgers.
Yeah, just, I'm baffled at that, though.
Yep.
Especially coming off of a World Series, coming off of, there were thoughts and talks that he wasn't going to return anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, does that hurt? Does that hurt or what?
That's messed up.
Yeah.
So, close us out, Horwat. What's your call out?
Man, we haven't really talked too much about it, but I'm calling out the Tampa Bay Lightning and John Cooper for not acting like you've been there before. You're on your third straight. And I've also been talking crap on John Cooper all season.
Yeah, first game of the season.
Yeah, so it may as well continue into the last. Something about John Cooper this year just rubs me the wrong way. Something about Nikita Kucherov in the last 30 seconds rubbed me the wrong way. These guys were just acting like they'd never been there before. All season, they were acting like the underdog, first of all. You're not. You're the two-time Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah.
You're not an underdog. Sure, you're tired. Yeah, the Penguins have been there before, but we didn't act like an underdog the entire season. John Cooper, with his antics of pulling the goalie with a lot of time left, going into now saying there were two, literally, there are times to cry in sports. Mm-hmm. After losing because you think the other team had too many men on the ice when you had more, is not, and ending your press conference short is not one of them.
Yeah.
Act like you've been there, John. Also, all of the Islanders fans have every right to be mad at him because of how they scored with quote-unquote too many men on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just the wrong step by John Cooper, and to just backtrack the next day was so funny to me. Tail between your legs saying, they had too many men on the ice, but yada, 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 whatever he said. I didn't listen to him.
Yeah.
And then Kucherov, who whipping his glove at his equipment manager, while very funny, everyone's kind of in the wrong there. The equipment manager has to be on his job, take notes from Taglianetti. I think we all understand that. But also, Cooch, you couldn't just use someone else's stick at the time? In the video, you see someone, like, handing Kucherov, like, hey, just take mine. I'm the fourth liner. I'm the plug. I'm not going out there. Yeah. 30 seconds left in the game where if you just score once, you are Nikita Kucherov. You can score in 30 seconds. You tie the game. Possibly force another game 7. Just giving up. Act like you've been there before. You know? I get that that maybe it was anger, frustration. You're trying to win again. Get that part of it. But use another stick, you know, maybe fly off the ice, tell someone else to go. Just anything more than just standing there, wasting a piece of equipment while your equipment manager is just kind of acting like he's been there before. Like, we've won 2, we don't need a third. I don't know. Just something about the Tampa Bay Lightning and losing rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm so happy the Colorado Avalanche won. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Avalanche, shout out to Jack Johnson, Nathan MacKinnon, and hopefully Drunk Crosby.
Yeah, we'll have to see if that pans out in that certain way. But no, with the Kucherov thing, listen, that team got two scoring chances the entire period. What did he think was going to happen in the last 30 seconds?
A third. I don't know. He's Nikita Kucherov. I mean,
and he had the best chance of the third period, and he whiffed on it. So at the end of the day, listen, if the equipment manager didn't have the stick ready, yeah, that's on the equipment manager. But, dude, act like a professional. Whipping your gloves at him, that's not okay in any sense of the word. But it's not the first time that Nikita Kucherov has kind of acted like a piss baby, and it won't be the last. It's just what you get with Kucherov, it seems like. But he's still a phenomenal player. But you can't do, like, don't do stuff like that. It's embarrassing for you. It's embarrassing for your team. And I also love that the first thing John Cooper was saying is, you know, he did give credit to Colorado Avalanche. He said they're the better team. You know, they won, which is new from Cooper. But he followed it up with, man, you should see the injuries that we have. You're going to be surprised when the injury report comes out. Did you see Valeri Nichushkin's foot? It is broken in three places, and that man was the biggest factor in that series that was not named Cale Makar or Nathan MacKinnon. So, listen, everybody's injuries. Everybody has injuries. So stop pandering to that like it is the reason you lost. You lost because you weren't the better team. You said that quietly, but you said the other part a lot louder. That's what I'm like, this is this. That's peak John Cooper right there.
Wait until you see the injury report. Congratulations, I think. Yeah.
Congrats, your players played absolutely mangled when they shouldn't have.
Pretty much. And Brayden
Point, but that's the NHL, though, so yeah. Like, I'm not going to say anything about that. That's every NHL team.
Right. It's just so funny, just the arrogance he carried himself with all season.
He's a lawyer.
Of course he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lawyer. Dirtbag lawyer.
But that's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hopefully we have some more news, maybe a signing at some point to talk about. But we will be back on Monday with a new episode full of Penguins talk, full of fun. And we will see you guys then on, that'll be the 4th of July.
Hey.
We haven't talked about that. So we might be back Monday. If not, we'll be back Tuesday. But nonetheless, we'll be back next week. We'll see you guys then. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend, Pens fans.
You can follow the hosts on Twitter at NickHorwat41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You could also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. Listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts from or watch us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins. This show is brought to you by SI Fan Nation and InsideThePenguins.com.